elected official without a voice, there's a whole new definition of useless.
Yes.
Okay, good afternoon.
I was feeling tender.
Yeah, not anymore, yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the May 1st section of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. And up front, we have a proclamation and some guests here. So welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members.
Thank you. Well, would you like me to read this first, or as the grand finale?
I have opening remarks.
Please. Welcome.
Thank you. It is so good to be here at City Hall with all my friends.
And we are your friends.
Yes. My name is Loretta Smith. I'm Multnomah County Commissioner for Multnomah County, and I represent District 2. And I just want to thank Commissioner Fish for inviting me and Commissioner Shipwreck here. And thank you, Mayor Hills, and Commissioner Fritz, Saltzman, and Novick. It gives me great pleasure and an honor to be here today to talk about something that I really, really care about. I'm proud to join you today with my colleague, Commissioner Shipwreck, for your Older Americans Month proclamation. We will have a similar presentation next week at the county council meeting. And this is what we do every year. It's an opportunity for the city and for the county to celebrate seniors in our community. Men and women who have contributed so much to the foundation of our neighborhoods, community centers, places of faith, and places of governance. Our collaborative efforts have provided seniors in Multnomah County the opportunity to access services and resources throughout the district at our senior centers and senior recreation programs. Both keep seniors active and engaged, which means that they can stay healthy and continue to live productive lives well into their older years. And at Multnomah County, we celebrate older Americans daily through our Aging and Disability Services Division. It's dedicated employees working with our community partners to serve our seniors and people with disabilities. We like to make sure that they can live independently as possible, and as we all know, the Adult Disability Services Division efforts, they're increasingly important as the county's aging population increases. ADSD's highly trained staff members serve as the front line to the older adults and people with disabilities in our community. They are searching for information and services when they come in contact with our offices, and we actually oblige them with the information. Their expertise in answering questions, inquiring into a caller's situation to fully understand their needs and their strengths, and providing options that allow people to make sound decisions is essential to empowering those who are seeking help. With that being said, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Commissioner Judy Shipwreck, and she's going to read the proclamation. Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Thank you, City Council members. I haven't been here for a long time, and this is always, this is kind of a ceremonial ritual we have every year of sharing this resolution, and I really enjoy it. And I do really appreciate that May is Older Americans Month. Now I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and it occurs to me that I honor seniors every day of every month. And if we're lucky, we demographically and just, through our normal aging processes, we will all be there one day. And so this really does give us a chance to pay extra attention and particular attention to the group of people
who've come before us, and the group of people who've done so much to enrich our lives. And they truly do inspire us. They encourage us. And I'm really so grateful for their presence in my life and in all of our lives. And I do have the honor of reading the proclamation today. First, I just want to be very clear in my thanks to the City Council for your partnership with Multnomah County. And what this does is it really draws attention to our ability together to provide services and a quality lifestyle for the older adults in our community. So thank you, Mayor Hales and commissioners, and particularly Commissioner Fish. Thank you for bringing this every year again, this opportunity. So this proclamation is before the Board of County Commissioners for Multnomah County, Oregon, and today before the Portland City Council, proclaiming May 2013 as Older Americans Month in Multnomah County, Oregon. The Multnomah County Board of Commissioners finds May 2013 is National Older Americans Month. This year's theme, Unleash the Power of Age, reminds us of the important contributions older adults make to our community and the Aging Network's instrumental role in helping them stay vital and engaged. Aging and Disability Services Division's ADSD, Aging and Disability Resource Connection, ADRC, is the place for older adults to turn for assistance and support as different needs, questions, and concerns arise. The ADRC serves as the dynamic entry point for older adults when they are searching for volunteer opportunities, activities to improve their health, caregiver services, or guidance in understanding and choosing from the array of options that enable them to age in place. Easily accessible by phone or via its website, the ADRC is staffed by highly trained and knowledgeable community information specialists who provide person-centered assistance that empowers Multnomah County's older adults and people with disabilities to live their lives to the fullest. Multnomah County has a long-standing history of collaboration with the City of Portland and Elders in Action. These partnerships have provided services, resources, and advocacy for elders to support their independence and participation in our community for years to come. The Multnomah County Board of Commissioners proclaim May 2012 as Older Americans Month in Multnomah County, Oregon, a time to honor all that older adults do to enrich our community and the significant part the ADRC plays in keeping them informed about a broad range of services and opportunities.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do just a couple of closing remarks. I'm Lee Gerard with Multnomah County Aging and Disability Services Division, and I am the Community Services Manager. And I just wanted to close this proclamation by thanking the City Council for a long-standing partnership with our organization and with our community network, and especially recognize the Parks and Recreation programs and the Senior Rec program that we collaborate with very closely. I have left you each a little pile of new cards because this month we are actually, along with it being Older Americans Month, we are announcing our designation as a regional, member of a regional Aging and Disability Resource Connection Consortium that includes not only our county but also Clackamas, Washington, and Columbia counties. So once again, we'd like to invite you to join us next Thursday at the proclamation reading at the county board, and we'll be talking more about our Aging and Disability Resource Connection Network. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for your leadership on these issues. We have a companion resolution, which I'm very happy to read, especially since Commissioner Fish is temporarily incapacitated. I'll read it instead. And appropriately, I'll put on my reading glasses to do so. Whereas this is Older Americans Month, and the theme of Unleash the Power of Age acknowledges the many important contributions of older adults in our community, and where we have older Americans serving as volunteers, mentors, otherwise engaged in the arts and culture and civic engagement in our community, as well as in the workplace. Whereas the City of Portland values and supports the need to provide affordable, safe, and accessible housing for all generations, and whereas the City contributes to the overall well-being of older adults, as was mentioned, through Portland's park and recreation programs, as well as through Loaves and Fishes. Whereas the City values and celebrates strong partners with Elders in Action and with Multnomah County and with the nonprofits who serve the needs of older adults in the community. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 2013 to be Older Americans Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month and support our older citizens who contribute so much to our community.
Yay.
Thank you,
Mayor Hales. And I'd just like to give you an open invitation, and for the rest of the commissioners, I'm doing a series of senior forums on financial fraud and abuse this month at Maywood Park and over at the Hollywood Senior Center. And we're also going to be out in East County as well. So I will send your offices the information, and you are welcome to attend. And Commissioner Fish, can I just say I'm sorry that your voice is going bad, but I just want to applaud one of your staffers that has been excellent, and that's George Hawker on these senior issues.
Yeah.
George leaves no stone unturned, and he is so efficient, and we've been working with him for the last 2.5 years, so I think it's great, and thank you so much. Thank you.
I want to wish you a speedy recovery, Commissioner Fish. Yes. I feel like the world has somehow slipped on its axis somewhat for you to be without a voice.
Temporary condition only. Thank you all very much. Appreciate your partnership. You want to do a photo before we before they leave?
That'd be nice. Let's do that. You want to celebrate this historic occasion having you in our house for this particular
All right, let's move to our regular calendar and start with communication item number 380, please, Carla.
Request of Sarah Tunstall and Dana Hinger to address council regarding their business, Schooltown in North Portland.
Welcome. How are you?
Hi there.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I'm Dana Hinger. This is Sarah Tunstall. We are co-owners of Schooltown in Portland, Oregon.
Yep. We're here to talk a little bit about our business today and also about economic development and manufacturing in Portland. So our business is a small-run sewing facility, and we do product development and small-run sewing of handbags, accessories, all different kinds of soft goods. We employ 13 full-time people in Portland. And probably the most exciting part of what we do is we work with a lot of small businesses that are growing in Portland. We help grow, I would say we have more than 50 active clients right now who are small businesses, just getting started, some who are more established businesses, and they're trying to grow their production. Their production has grown beyond what they're individually capable of doing, and so they've reached out to us to do this. So we've been in business for 18 months, and just next week are moving to our new location, which we are very excited about, in a much bigger facility, so we'll be able to take on more, have more employees, and work with more small businesses. We're very excited about what we've done with Spooltown, and we're also very excited about our work with the Portland Development Commission.
In terms of development and what we've been able to accomplish as a small business, it's really pretty finite. It's a limited amount of what we can accomplish. We are almost late getting here because we're running around sewing things, it turns out, but we made it. So without the help of folks like the PDC or OMEP, which is Oregon Manufacturing Extension Partnership, I believe, it's really difficult for us to find the time and the energy and the space to even know where to begin that process. I worked formerly for a place called Queen Bee Creations, and the PDC was instrumental in helping us get into a new building. And just even the programs that they offer in terms of the URAs, where to look, where other people are going, like-minded businesses, manufacturing as a whole. I mean, Portland's pretty heavy on the apparel realm, but soft goods is an entirely different thing. And PDC was so beneficial in helping us in terms of just developing that growing business. For us moving next week, it will be incredibly helpful to have them on our side as well.
In addition to that, I'd add that we really feel like we're riding a wave of a renewed interest in American manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And I think Portland is at a really unique place in developing a manufacturing sector. There are a lot of small, younger businesses that are really interested in getting started. As we all know, Portland has a great draw for people who are interested in developing a craft and honing it. And so that's part of what we're interested in doing is promoting that manufacturing. And the Portland Development Commission has been really instrumental in helping us and in helping that industry and that sector succeed.
Yep. So with that, and we'll tie it all up, thank you for your time, first of all. But no matter what, we know there's a budget deficit, and we would just like to ask for dedicated funding to happen from the general fund for the PDC to keep things like what we're doing moving along. It's instrumental.
Thanks. Well, thanks for being here. And that Portland Made Party really illustrated how many startups there are in Portland now. And
it's
pretty impressive to see what's happening, and you're a nice part of it. So
thanks. Yeah, well, we're very excited to be a part of it, and we appreciate your time here today.
Yeah. Thanks
if
so much.
Somebody watching at home wants to find out more about your business, do you have a website you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, they can find us at spooltown.com.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks
for coming.
Yeah.
Thanks very
have
much.
Great day.
Good luck with the move.
Thank you. We have a lot to do, so
yeah,
we'll get out of your hair.
Go back. Thanks.
Item 381, request of Rosario Tascuento to address council regarding business assistance from the Equal Opportunities Initiative from the Portland Development Commission.
Right. Here? Not here? Okay. Maybe the next one?
382, request of Thompson Morrison to address council regarding Portland Development Commission Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Program.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
My name is Thompson Morrison. I'm the CEO of a software company called Fuse Insight. I am also on the board of directors of the Technology Association of Oregon, the TAO. And I also serve as the co-chair of the Rosewood Initiative. Now, let me take us a step back a little bit here to 2008. And that was the year that the TAO and the Portland Police Bureau initiated an ambitious experiment. And in that experiment, we thought we wanted to explore what might happen if we took the creative skills of our technology industry, the skills of agile innovation, and within the Bureau, helped create one of the most trusted and innovative police departments in the country. Now, this brought us to think and to reimagine the meaning of community policing, to create indeed a new chapter, one that addressed the underlying issues of crime and to begin to focus not just on community policing, but on community building. 162 and Burn. That's where we began to focus our attention back in 2009. Because at 162nd and Burnside, we had an area that had been long neglected by the city, that had become, in an essence, an urban wasteland where crime was rampant. It was essentially a place of strangers. Thus began Project 162, a police mission that evolved into the Rosewood Initiative, focused on community and economic development. Well, in that area, 70% of Rosewood live in apartment buildings. And in our very first meeting, we pulled together the apartment owners and managers, the connectors in the community, and we talked about the vision. And at that meeting, one of the owners rose to his feet and told a story about how the powers in our city, and PDC in particular, would never listen to their concerns, and in fact, would never even return their calls. The frustration and anger in that room was palpable. Well, 2 weeks ago, Dave Miller and the crew from Think Out Loud, our beloved OPB talk show, spent an evening in the Rosewood community, listening and celebrating our story, and a story that was broadcasted through the whole state. It was a story about how a community is coming together, a village empowered by new relationships is being knitted together by new possibilities. The PDC, through its Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative, has been a critical strategic partner in this rebirth. While traditionally known for helping to build physical infrastructure, critical for success has been their help in building and supporting organizational infrastructure. In this process of direct engagement, they are gaining the trust and gratitude in the community. The funding that is being provided through MPI, in the grand scale of things, is not large, but it is very strategic. If we are to be successful in building a world-class innovation economy in this region, it is essential that it be an inclusive one. And that means embracing and empowering communities such as Rosewood. We look forward to your continued support to the PC and its NPI program. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
383, request of Elisa Harrigan to address council regarding rental housing.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Hello. Sorry, I'm a little less polished. It's been a while since I've been here, so I feel a little less polished than normal. Good afternoon, commissioners and mayor. It is a pleasure working with all of you. I'm here today for a few different reasons, so I will, my 3 minutes, try to go fast. We wanted to start with, as part of the We Are the Safety Net campaign, say thank you to council for your ongoing commitment and support for the safety net. The mayor's proposed budget is a strong statement in your belief in our housing and services continuum. We know that when our continuum is funded and funded well, we're all able to work collaboratively and work from moving people out of homelessness through preventing eviction, stabilizing housing, getting them to homeownership, and preventing foreclosure all together. Without one of those pieces, we're not as strong as a safety net. So we support the proposed budget. Want to say thank you. It is a strong statement to the community. We are working collectively as advocates to look for ongoing stable funding. We know that this is not something that we want to keep doing year after year and kind of fighting for it through the general fund. We need to look at other dedicated sources of funding, and we'll be working with you all on support with that. We have some heavy cuts coming from the federal government that will affect many, many of us. Along with partly with the budget is the BDS proposed budget is a strong start in addressing the problem of substandard housing conditions. And I think most of you have heard from me over the last 9 years on and on about substandard housing conditions and how it affects our communities. The city's invested funds into studying, kind of looking at the effects of substandard housing conditions and how it affects people, particularly children with triggering asthma and other health effects with mold, cockroaches, pest infestation, and lead. So attached in your packet there is the health impact assessment that was done a year ago, and it has three recommendations on there. And so There's two pieces I would encourage you guys to ask. Is ask BDS through the inspections program, what is the backlog on their enhanced targeted area? For the communities that we work with, we're working with 5 buildings at the moment who have been waiting for 6 months for an inspection. There's no turnaround right now. What we're being told kind of quietly is it's about a year-long wait before an inspector will come out there to look at their units. There's severe pest infestations and mold with a lot of young children out in East Portland. So it's an area where we're saying we want to enhance the program, do more work out there, and people can't even access the service. So I would ask, what is the actual need of inspectors in order to meet the need? That's a critical piece for that. And then I'll wrap up with, in the HIA, you know, with several of the partners, we believe that targeted enhanced inspected areas, providing education for both tenants and landlord, and the technical equipment needed in order for the inspectors to do their job, that's what's going to lead to long-term solutions. So I'm not sure if we need to do anything in the budget right now for it, but we need to engage in a conversation of how we're going to move forward and meet the community need, because what we're doing, even maintaining at 7 inspectors, is not meeting the need, and it's unacceptable. I don't know on our hotline what to tell people of what to do. So if any of you want to meet with me or any of my colleagues about it, we're happy to let you in on a little more information about that if you would like. Thank you.
Thanks for your advocacy and for being here. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Item 384. Request of Heather Leak to address council regarding increased density in Portland and infrastructure support.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to hear the concerns of our community. I am Heather Leak. I'm a homeowner, a wife, mother of 3 young children, Sophia, Coulter, in case they would want their names on record. And I am the president of the Beverly Cleary PTA in Northeast Portland. I represent 731 children, 1,400 parents, and the best teachers and administrators and staff in the city. I've lived in the Grant area for 8 years. It's a vibrant community. Our businesses are doing well, and home sales have increased drastically over the past year. Many of our newest residents have moved to our neighborhood to attend our excellent schools. On my street alone, we've gained 8 grade school-aged children in the past 2 months, and there are 2 more family homes for sale in the same area. That's within a 2-block radius. This is a natural progression of a vital neighborhood, and it's great for our city. In addition to the population getting younger, 5 multi-unit dwellings within our school's boundaries have been completed. 3 more are underway, and 1 soon will be at the corner of Northeast 33rd and Broadway. All total, it's over 500 units in 7 years. In addition to these large developments, the city has waived fees for accessory dwelling units on existing properties. All of these have added to the density issues that the Beverly Cleary School and our community now face. In the 2005-06 school year, our school held 450 students. Fast forward 7 years, and the exact same structures now hold 731 students. That's a 63% increase. Next year, that number could be as high as 800. I understand that the city doesn't directly fund the schools, but it is the city that needs to consider the cost of growth and its impact on our infrastructure. At our school, we are converting critically needed space into basic classrooms. This means we're losing our band room, some art space, and our computer lab. How can we expect our children to compete in an online world when their online learning center is being taken away due to poor planning and lack of support? I want to know what's being done to benefit the communities that are adversely affected by these density issues. How can we gain funds to add space to our schools? Our children are Portland's future and its future taxpayers. What kind of people and jobs will fund the city in 10 and 20 years? The investment in our children's education is too critical to ignore and needs our direct attention. Our schools have done more with less year after year, and I understand that money is critically short. But when will we stop giving tax breaks to the builders and developers that add to the density problem without adding anything to the infrastructure? I lived in Georgia for a few years, and the builders are required to pay per house or dwelling unit an amount that goes directly to building or improving the impacted schools of the area. As a city, we are stealing our children's future, and that is unacceptable. Many of our parents are working for solutions, but we need funding and support. They may contact your offices soon for help. Thank you again for hearing these concerns. I look forward to all support and ideas that you have that would benefit our schools and community.
Thanks. Thanks for your advocacy. And we're looking forward to welcoming the National Champion Grant Constitution
Amen.
Team here for a celebration at the city here sometime soon.
When will that be?
We're not sure, but sometime next couple weeks we're going to have them down to council and give them some love because they've done well.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Consent calendar. There are no requests, I believe, for items to be removed. Anyone want to request anything now? If not, roll call on consent, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Item 395 and 396. Why don't you read them both together, please? Okay.
395. Authorize a Memorandum of Understanding with Multnomah County, Volunteers of America, Oregon Home Free, Raphael House, Catholic Charities, and the City of Portland Police Bureau for the purposes of the Department of Justice Office of Violence Against Women grants to encourage arrest policies and enforcement of protection orders program in order to continue operation of the Domestic Violence Enhanced Response Team, and 396, accept a grant in the amount of $55,942, appropriate $28,462 for fiscal year 2012-13, and authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County for Domestic Violence Enhanced Response Team sworn personnel expenses.
Great. Captain Modica is here, I believe, to tell us a little bit more about these items. Welcome.
Mayor Hales, Commissioner Saltzman, Fish, Fritz, and Novick. I'm Kevin Modica. I'm a captain with the Portland Police Bureau, and I currently am assigned to our Family Services Division. At Family Services, we house two investigative units. One investigates child abuse cases, and the other investigates domestic violence cases, also elder abuse and vulnerable adult cases where there's been fraud or sex abuse or domestic violence. The DIVERT project has been in existence since 2004, and it matured up to include a more robust response, and that response includes four officers and a sergeant. The ordinance for the grant funds comes through the Encourage Arrest Policies and Enforcement of Protection Orders program, through the VAWA stream of money, and it's needed. The $28,000 is to pay for services already generated, and the rest of the funding is to continue the programming. That money pays for a sergeant. The split is 0.3 from the funding and 0.2 from the city. It is integral that the programming continues. There's over 5,000 domestic violence reports that run through the City of Portland's dispatch on a yearly basis. And what we do within this team is we triage those cases, assign them out for investigation, and especially in the cases of high lethality, we have an assessment tool that we use. Success has been enormous, and appreciate your support.
Thank you. Questions for Captain Modica?
I just wanted, I'm just trying to follow your math here. You said 0.2 and 0.3, so that adds up to 0.5 of a position. Where's the other half of that position's money coming from?
It is paid for by the police bureau.
Out of the base budget, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Other questions?
How many domestic violence, how many officers are currently and command staff are working on domestic violence right now?
Well, I happen to bring my organizational chart, so I can tell you without guessing. Right now we have five officers and one sergeant just for domestic violence. There is a county deputy, that is also signed as part of the DIVERT project.
So not only 0.5 or 0.3 is funded through this grant and the rest is funded by the city and the general fund?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, as an aside, Captain Modica is recovering from rotator cuff surgery, so I would suggest that you recommend to Chief Reese that, consistent with the policy of the Washington Nationals as regards Steven Strasburg, you suggest that Chief Reese limit the number of innings that Captain Modica pitched for the next year so he can achieve a full recovery.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I hope you recover quickly. Other questions for the captain?
I would just like to say that Captain Modica, in my opinion, oversees one of the most critically important divisions in the Portland Police, that is the Family Services Division. And he's been doing a great job. It's been not quite a year, or has it been more than a year?
It's coming up on a year.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job. I've worked with many captains of Family Services over the years, and Captain Modica's on top there.
It's great.
So the domestic violence detail is a subsection of Family Services?
Yes, ma'am. And we also, as I said, we have the Elder Crimes and Vulnerable Adult Unit, and then we have the Child Abuse Team, which consists of primarily detectives and supervisors for those detectives, along with some outside agency assigned officers or detectives to round it out for that multidisciplinary team concept.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. All right, anyone else? Any other questions? Anyone else testifying on this item?
No one signed up.
Okay, then let's take a roll call on the Memorandum of Understanding.
Okay, 395. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your important work. Aye.
Thank you.
Hales?
Well, not only is this a well-managed part of what the Bureau is doing, but if you look at the list of partners that are listed in this MOU, it shows how well the Family Services Division has done in terms of building those partnerships and engaging other people in the community to help be eyes and ears and hands, especially when maybe we're a little shorthanded, to address these problems. So that's an impressive accomplishment as well. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, and the grant.
396. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thanks very much, Captain Modica.
Very
See you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have one more item, which is a second reading, but we do have someone who asked for the courtesy to be able to speak briefly, and since we're a little ahead of schedule, I think I'd like to give her the chance. So let's read the item. And
okay. Item 397, provide for civil penalties for violation of leash and scoop regulations and authorize commissioner in charge to adopt policies and procedures for implementation of civil penalties.
Right, Ms. Suchak, come on up, please. Welcome.
Hello, Mayor. I heard the word density there.
Some seemed like an echo. Yes.
It's quite delightful to see you in this position. And I noticed we didn't have to give our name. But
please do. Put it in the record.
My name is Marty Suchak. I just learned about this ordinance. Last week I saw it on Channel 8 ribbon around the bottom. And one of the difficulties with parks, and I know it's because probably they're overwhelmed, is when things like this are put together, the outreach goes to the usual suspects. And I used to be part of those usual suspects, active in the community organizations. But even back then, they don't go to the park so park users can see them and be part of the development of this. And I really applaud this ordinance. And maybe I should do this as a communication, but what I would like to see, as I remember when you were Parks Commissioner, Mayor, are you still Parks Commissioner now?
Temporarily.
He's commissioner of everything.
I remember that you, I think by fiat, not to use that in a negative sense at all, declared a test off-leash area in Gabriel Park. And that's not an easy thing for a politician to do, for anybody to do. And my cranky neighborhood association and several others were upset by that. And it was located in a place that was really good for the dogs, but the major path through Gabriel Park transected the off-leash area, and so that created some problems. But that program developed, and then I think it really was mainly at Gabriel Park and Chimney Park, and I forget where else. But it was deemed successful, and I don't have time, and you don't want to hear all of that. It is a very good system for some people, the fenced areas and the limited areas. But people stand around there. I put a lot of this in my written testimony, and I hope some of you will read it. I know, I think you will. You always read things. And what I would like and what I asked for at the end of the evaluation period of having several was to institute some off-leash hours early in the morning and late in the evening in summer, a little earlier evening hours in winter, so that people who need the exercise, who can do 2.5 miles around the park, can walk their dogs, exercise their dogs off-leash. The newspaper is, stop me please if you want to, the park is like a newspaper for dogs. They have to smell along the path, they have to read the sports section and the stock market and that kind of thing. And so it's hard on a leash, you know, to take them around. And my friend and I kept inventories of how many people were there. Not a lot of people are there, more in summer, very early in the morning. I'm talking 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. The other thing you would have to do is walk your dog on a leash, take him home, and then walk yourself, you know, in order to get your exercise, and you just can't do that. So I don't know how to do this. I know it's hard sometimes to get these ideas up the ladder. Central Park does this, and they're a pretty big city. New York City is a pretty big city. So I would like your advice, and Commissioner Fish, I'd like to know how to get this to be a test program, because I think it is quite fiscally folly to put enforcement resources early there in the morning to catch one person, for example. My neighbor was a midwife, grabbed her dog after a long night, didn't grab her leash. There was a ranger there, gave her a warning. One ranger to one person at 6:30 in the morning. You know, and if there were this possibility for us to walk our dogs, maybe use Gabriel Park again as a test case, and maybe use Mount Tabor. I would like to see it in mid-sized to larger parks where we can actually walk. Hillsdale has off-leash hours, but it's very small. It's very hard to get exercise, and big dogs dominate. So I would like to find a way to do this.
Okay.
I think it makes a lot of sense fiscally. And when you have this culture of control that the city and county task force came up with, yeah, okay, when you have that, what you do is you provoke cynicism in people and not confidence in government. And this city is very progressive, and I'd like to see that.
Good. Well, thank you, Marty.
I lost my voice a little while ago, but Warren Jimenez, the deputy director, is here. And I'm not the commissioner in charge. I'm just the commissioner in winter.
Oh.
If you could just give him your contact information.
Yeah.
You've put on the record some interesting ideas, and we'd like to follow up with you.
Okay, thank you. It is good to see you again, Commissioner Salzman, Mayor Hales. Some of us were going to kind of bedevil you during the campaign, but we realized you were quite bedeviled by other people. So
it's only begun.
Yeah, and Commissioner French, and this is a very relaxed environment now. As much as I love Mayor Katz and respect her, it was a little bit more intimidating. And it's nice to see you. And I've followed your career.
And you might be following him and his dog around Gabriel Park.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I remember Eric Sten confessed to me he used to walk off leash all the time.
I won't stipulate whether Commissioner Novick is operating off leash with his dog or not, but he does live nearby.
Okay.
We adhered to the letter of the law, but I did not know that we owed the off leash area in Gabriel Park to you, Mr. Mayor. So thank you.
We do. The whole program, I think he started it. And it caused him grief. You know, you did some good things, Charlie, and I remember that once in these chambers when we wrapped up the Southwest Community Plan, there were a couple of disputed parcels, and I said, I completely agree with Commissioner Hales on this, and you said, stop, make sure that's on the record. It was in Multnomah Post, and my good friend framed it for me, and I still have it in my study. nice
Marty,
to see you all, and thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Staying
good
engaged, Marty.
That's great. Well, they're dog leash, off-leash areas are difficult to start and difficult to close. So let's take a second reading.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I commend the Bureau for its good work on this policy. I do think some of the suggestions Marty just made are good ones. I remember when I used to have an older dog, I had the same problem. I'd take my dog for a walk, and then I'd come home and go on my long walk. So if we can find a way to sort of accommodate the increasing needs for physical fitness of all of us, including our dogs, this might be one way to do that. But overall, we need to have, off-leash areas and leash laws that are enforced, and that's why I'm pleased to support this ordinance. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Well, I think as both the council discussion last week and this discussion indicates, this is a good authority for the Parks Bureau and the Rangers to have. It's important that we use it in a really thoughtful way and customize it to the needs of people in the community and be sensitive about how and how much we penalize people for violating the rules. But I think that discussion, I hope, has helped the Bureau prepare to use this authority in a very responsible and humane way. Aye. And we are in recess until tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Thanks, Marty. Good to see you.